Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 Results Investors Conference Call of Dabur India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Gagan Ahluwalia. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Ahluwalia.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the management of Dabur India Limited, I welcome you to this next conference call pertaining to results for the quarter ended 31st December 2023. Present here with me are Mr. Mohit Malhotra, Chief Executive Officer, Dabur India Limited, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ashok Jain, EVP Finance and Company Secretary, and Mr. N. Krishnan, DGM. At the outset, we will have an overview of the company's performance by Mr. Mohit Malhotra, and that will be followed by a Q&A session. I now hand over to Mohit. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today for the results call of quarter 3, financial year 24. FMCG sector continued to witness year-on-year improvement in volume growth, although there were pockets of stress due to liquidity issues and delayed winters. Impact of pricing decelerated as price increases started to come into the base and growth was largely led by volumes. Dabur's consolidated revenue grew by 9.6% in constant currency terms and 7% in INR terms to reach to INR 3,255 crores. This was backed by 6% volume growth in India FMCG business, including Badshah. International business grew by 11.7% in constant currency terms. Talking about the categories, HPC portfolio recorded a 7% growth during the quarter. Oral care portfolio grew by 8%, led by volume growth of 5%. Herbal segment in toothpaste category outpaced the non-herbal segment by almost 200 bps, now reaching 31%. The home care category grew by around 7%, which was led by a double-digit growth in Odomos with a gain of 1,067 BPS in MRC category, taking our market shares up to 65.2%. Odomos brand continued to outperform the category with an increase in market share of 180 bps. Hair care recorded a mid-single digit growth as our market shares in hair oil improved by 140 BPS to reach 17.1%. The healthcare portfolio recorded a 3% growth with a 4-year CAGR YTD of 8.3%. We gained market shares across the health supplement portfolio with Chyawanprash gaining 151 bps and Dabur Honey recording a 33 bps improvement during the quarter. The digestive category saw 15% growth on back of strong performance of Hajmola franchise. Within OTC portfolio, Lal Tail, Health Juices and Shilajit performed very well, while Honitus had a muted performance in the quarter due to delayed winters. Our therapeutic portfolio is performing well and is on track. In F&B portfolio, beverage business saw a growth of around 7% during the quarter. The newly acquired Badshah business saw a growth of 33% driven by focused marketing efforts and rejuvenated brand portfolio. We remain committed to exiting the year with a run rate of 500 crores from our foods portfolio, including Badshah. We continue to drive our distribution expansion initiatives. Our direct reach stands at 1.42 million outlets and should increase to 1.5 million outlets by the end of the fiscal year. Village coverage is at strong 1.17 lakh villages, being ably supported by more than 18,700 yodhas across the country. The S score, which is a marker of the efficiency of the distribution, continues to see improvement and has been further improved by around 15% in the quarter. I am pleased to inform you that the board of directors have approved capital expenditure of 135 crores for setting up a greenfield plant in South India for capacity expansion of red toothpaste, Odonil and honey. This will enable us to enhance our presence in South and add to our growth in this region. Now coming to our international business, with moderation in inflation and distribution changes, the international business registered a CC growth of 11.7% during the quarter. This was driven by MENA region growing at 14.3%, Egypt business growing at 43%, and Turkey business growing at 43.8%. Our focus on innovation and consumer-centric strategies has enabled us to gain market shares across categories and countries. Coming to the consolidated profit during the quarter, our gross margin saw a healthy expansion of 310 BPS as we saw material deflation during the quarter. In line with our stated strategy, we have increased our A&P investments by around 36% in the quarter. We believe these media investments are essential to drive long-term sustainable growth and maintain our market leadership. The consolidated operating profit recorded a growth of 9.5% with 50 BPS improvement in operating margins, and PAT grew by 8%. Excluding the exceptional legal costs, our operating profit grew by 13% with 120 BPS expansion in operating margin. On a like-to-like basis, our consolidated PAT increased by 15%. Overall, while the demand scenario is still challenging, we are cautiously optimistic about the future. We will continue to drive profitable growth across our business verticals, backed by investments in our distribution network, brands, manufacturing, digital and organizational capabilities. With this, I will conclude my address and open the floor for the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mihir Shah from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question and congrats on a good set of numbers. So firstly, on the hair oil and oral care portfolio. In hair oils, Dabur's performance seems to be better, while in oral care, the value growth now is in line with the market leader. Can you share what is working for us in the hair oil portfolio, and can this outperformance continue? While in oral, what steps can be taken to get growth back to a higher trajectory? Is pricing growth, can be under consideration? So that's my first question.
Right. So, thank you, Mayor, for asking. So, in hair oil, we have a strong performance in the hair oil. So, we've gained market shares of 140 BPS, and this is a secular growth in all the sub-segments of hair oils, whether you consider coconut oils, perfumed oils, cooling oils. Across the board, we've gained market shares and a substantial improvement in our market performance. So, if you look at Amla portfolio in perfumed hair oils has also grown. We gained market share. Sarso Amla has also done well. Coconut oils have also registered a 50 BPS gain in the market shares for us. So overall, while the primary sales looked at 4.5, but our secondary business has actually improved further on. And we think the trajectory will continue. At the end of the day, we are only around 16-17% market share with huge headroom of roughly around 80-85% of the business there for that. And Dabur's got a great equity in hair oils. And we are pivoting. So one thing that we've been slow in hair oils in terms of premiumization, we are stepping the pedal on the premiumization in hair oils also and trying to plug the gaps wherever we are not present. In last 1 year, we plugged the gap with cooling oil with launch of Cool King. And Cool King is attained a relative market share of around 3-4%. And in the coming summer, the summer is great. I think we'll again ramp up our cooling portfolio. Our Ayurvedic hair oil, which has been launched in South India, is also showing traction. And we are launching premium variants on e-commerce and modern trade. That's as far as hair oil is concerned. As far as shampoo is concerned, shampoo category is, as far as shampoo is concerned in hair care, category is growing by 3%, we are growing by around 11%, thereby substantial market share gains there. Our sachet portfolio is gained substantial ground in rural, driven by our rural distribution. And in modern trade and e-commerce, our large packs are continuing to do well. As far as oral care is concerned, our growth is 8%, backed by volume growth of 5%, as compared to the competitor, where it is only 2%. So therefore, we are substantially increasing our penetration. We are the number two brand in the country now, after the market leader. And the Acacia is the number two player, happens to be a very big player. We plug the gap in oral care also in terms of gel. Beatrice gel is what we launched a couple of months back, and that's notched up a turnover around 17 crores and gained a market share of around 1 to 1.5% in the gel category. So we are also looking at plugging the gaps in other parts of our portfolio. That is on the Dabur Red continues to do well, growing ahead of the curve. So we gained around 8.8% market share as far as gel toothpaste is concerned. And this month we registered a double digit growth on back of market share gains. So our herbal portfolio, still a lot of work needs to be done there. There we test market ourselves in the south of India, and we'll be extending our herbal toothpaste portfolio across India also. So that's as far as the oral care portfolio is concerned. The penetration of herbal category has actually gone up in the market, and I think on back of that tailwind, we will continue to ramp up our herbal care franchise as well.
Got it. Understood. Thank you for that. So my second question is on the healthcare portfolio. Can one expect the late onset of winter benefit 4Q sales, or will the inventory in the channel be suffice to take care of the demand? And can you also talk about the progress in the therapeutic initiatives that we had called out earlier? What kind of incremental sales can be expected, and from when can we expect that, sir?
Yeah, so there's not much of implication of the weather as far as the healthcare portfolio is concerned. So I think healthcare, winter is muted, so we feel that healthcare trajectory of a double-digit secondary growth for us will actually continue going forward, and we will continue to surge ahead of the category growth rate and gain market share as far as healthcare is concerned. And there's so much of potential there, like I told you, 80% market is still there. In shampoos, our market share is only 7%. And around 93% of the market is there for us to take, and the herbal categories are a tailwind. On back of that, we continue to gain shares in shampoos and also hair oil. So I hope the summer is good, and hair care is more summer skewed for us. So if the summer is good, I think the business will trend up well, but our strategy doesn't change. I think as far as Amla is concerned, our strategy is to have flanker brands around our core brand, which is Dabur Amla, and create moats around that and be present in terms of pack price architecture on all price points of hair oils. As far as therapeutic portfolio is concerned, we created the division for the NOKC, which is also selling the product, and it's grown by around 14.8%, around 15% growth of therapeutic portfolio, which is driven by baby care, our branded ethical division, and also our pharmaceutical division by which we go to the dermatologist. So that's trending well and doing well.
Sir, I was asking for health supplement, the health care, not the hair care, sir. The late onset of winter on health supplement hair care portfolio.
No, my mistake. I thought it was hair care. So yeah, health supplement business definitely got impacted because this time the winter has been little muted, contracted, and also delayed. So all the three factors in the winter impacted our healthcare, our health supplement portfolio, so we call it. Basically, Chyawanprash and honey we categorize in it. So Chyawanprash business got impacted, and therefore the growth was very muted. We had a flat growth as far as Chyawanprash is concerned. So that we put in the stock, but one good thing what is happening is that the winter is getting delayed. So whatever stock that we put out there with the stockist is going to get now lifted in the marketplace, and we shoved in the SPR, and SPR will get liquidated, the winter getting delayed, and optics will happen. While the trade will not take more stock, so the growth will be what the growth is in the quarter 3, but the optics will happen going forward in the quarter 4 for us. So I think flushing out of inventory will happen there. As far as honey is concerned, we've seen an 11% growth as far as honey is concerned in terms of penetration of the category. So honey category is doing well, and we are ahead of the pre-COVID category growth levels also. Stabilized. We've gained market share in honey by around 33 basis points. And it's doing extremely well for us. So all the new players who have made an entry to the honey category have been created by Dabur Honey, and we continue to make good strides on honey, and the category is also growing well as far as honey is concerned. So we are looking at modernizing of honey. We've launched premium variants in honey called organic honey, forest honey, Sudarshan honey, etc. They are all getting good traction in the marketplace, and also our BV brand with multiple SKUs now in the marketplace is facilitating the breakfast usage from therapeutic usage to breakfast usage. So honey is also doing well. As far as glucose portfolio is covered, the winter in the summer is good for us. Our glucose portfolio is also fine. Glucose has also increased market share, albeit being a winter not being the right season for glucose consumption for you. So that's the health supplement portfolio for you.
Got it. Thank you. So one last bookkeeping question. Adjusting for the 22 crores of one-off of legal cost and other expenses, the cost has still gone up. Is there any additional cost, or will this be the new normal going forward?
Anani, just to add on, excluding this is 10%, but if you see at a there's some phasing issue of certain expenses, but if you see YTD, excluding legal cost or other expenses, has grown by only 4%.
Okay, got it. Thank you, and all the very best. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, and congrats on good recovery. My question is on shampoo business. So it is your star category within your mix. So 11% YOY growth and 15% CAGR over 4 years. So I wanted to understand, is pricing a big component of this, both on YOY and 4 year CAGR basis? And in terms of the naturals within shampoo, how would that move within the last 4 years? Because the growth seems much stronger than the industry growth rate of 15% CAGR over the last 4 years.
Right, so Mish, so I think we've been sustainably growing, so I'm commenting upon the recovery. I think it's a sustainable, enduring growth that you've shown quarter on quarter. There is no recovery here as such. So I'm commenting on your choice of words there first. As far as shampoo is concerned, sorry, that was a pun. As far as shampoo is concerned, on the shampoo business, yes, our growth has been industry beating growth of around 11%. And the growth coming on back of both rural and also urban. In rural, our sachet distribution has actually gone up, and because of sachet distribution, I think this growth has come because we put ahead of the curve rural distribution network and infrastructure, and our sachets are actually riding that infrastructure, and that's why this growth is coming. So sachets are price sensitive to your point, and we are maintaining. There's no price growth here. It is more volume growth. The entire growth is volume growth as far as sachets is concerned. Now coming to bottle is more a modern trade and e-commerce phenomenon. We are introducing premium variants in our shampoo, which we think will, it's early days for us to comment, but I think premium portfolio in bottles should be driving pricing growth. As far as our regular bottle is concerned, we are driving bottle, which is very low. It's 20% of our overall portfolio, and which is continuously growing and gaining market share in modern trade and e-commerce. So that's as far as that, but there's a huge headroom in shampoos to your point, because our market share is only 7% here.
And the herbal category
is strong. And herbal category is strong with a higher growth rate as compared to the non-herbal category here also, which is basically mirroring the oral care. Oral care, the herbal category is around 30%, and we feel in shampoo also it has a potential to go up to around 30-31% the way it is as far as oral care is concerned in shampoo.
So thanks. My second question is on oral care. So when I compare market leaders' performance in Q3, they claim to have grown double digits in toothpaste with a low single digit volume growth, which implies almost high single digit price plus mix growth. So if you could tell us what kind of price plus mix growth you would have seen in toothpaste. And second, when I compare your portfolio in toothpaste versus the market leader, Clearly, in premiumization, you would need much more products. I do understand the gel, red toothpaste, etc. But if you see consumer in terms of the market leader, the options in terms of sensitive, whitening, and so many products, would you also now need to think beyond the normal way which you are thinking, say, naturals being extended to gel, etc.? That is good. But is that enough from a 3 to 5 years perspective from a premium kind of a market share?
Yeah. So I think very well alluded. Amish, you're absolutely right. As far as the first part of your question is concerned, volume and value, we've grown 8% in terms of value, which seems equivalent to the market leader. But our volume growth has been 5%, implying that we have a 3% of price factor as far as oral care is concerned. And going forward, we would want to drive our volume and increase our penetration levels, which is the part of the course that we do. But premiumization and trying to plug the gaps where market leaders are paving the way, I think that is the way, and also identifying more the gaps in the premiumization is what we would follow, and you will see that change as far as Dabur's portfolio Rheostar is concerned. So we are working on the same and trying to capture those premiumization segments, which includes whitening, which includes tartar control, which includes gum, which includes sensitive, etc., etc. So our four-year CAGR is around 11% in oral care, and we've been growing ahead of the category, and we feel natural as a sub-segment is growing 200 basis points ahead of the non-natural, so that tailwind is there. So natural plus scientific benefit is the way to go in the market. So that's what you will see those changes the next 2 to 5 years. And I think 2 to 5 years is a long period. I think in next 1 year, you will see a couple of initiatives from our side.
Sure. Last question is on Badshah. So Q2 YoY growth was 16%, which has jumped now to 33%. That's a sharp acceleration, but there is a sharp inflation also in spices. So this good recovery in terms of growth number, how much is because of pricing? And in terms of exports and going beyond the two states, what is the status on that?
So in terms of Amish, hi. In terms of volume is close to 23% in this, and balance is pricing 9 to 10%. And it is currently it is primarily in two states. A bit of exports we have started. You know, there's still alignment with certain countries, but most of this growth, I would say 90% of this growth is coming from organic same states only as of now. But there are plans to expand it to other geographies, and we are aligning the route to market with the current setup.
Yeah. So just to add to what Dhanush has just said, I think huge vectors of growth possible in Badshah. I think first of all, as you know, spices is very customized to different regions. So today we are only relegated to the western region, and there's a potential of enhancing the portfolio from the western-related palate product portfolio to more north-driven to south-driven, which is what we guys are working in terms of portfolio expansion. Then distribution expansion, we are only limited to Gujarat and Maharashtra. I think going forward, we will extend ourselves to adjoining states, which is what the plan is, to extend it to Madhya Pradesh and Rajasthan also, and extend distribution there, and leverage Dabur distribution and expand our distribution. The third vector is international business. International business, to Ankush's point, hardly contributing to around 5-6% of Badshah sales, which going forward will go up to like Dabur's international business, almost 30%. So the potential is there. So therefore, gradually, slowly, we will be inching up our international business. We are in the process of regulatory conforming our portfolio to go to markets like US and UK as the regulatory conformance is in place, and we have GMP practices. We will start exporting, and the demand is there, but we are not able to export there. Then the fourth vector is our gaps in our pack price architecture. We have gaps in our portfolio in terms of 5 rupee, 10 rupee pack. I think that has to be plugged also. And then the fifth vector is advertising and demand generation. We've barely done advertising on western and regional channels. Nationally, we've not even started advertising the brand. So huge growth potential, and we see the category is very big. Our market shares are in the range of around 2 to 3%. So I think there's huge headroom to grow there.
Sure, that's all from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arnab Mitra from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Mohit. Great to see improving growth rate for you. I read the comment on your release which talks about rural growing ahead of urban by 200 bips. This is kind of obviously a bit contrary to what we've heard from other companies. If you could just help us understand, is it specific to you because of initiatives or there are certain categories where you're seeing rural grow ahead of urban, and how do you see this pan out?
So I think as it is, I think specific to us, so our rural growth is in the range of around 6-6.5% as compared to urban, which is around 3.8, which consolidates around 5-10 growth. Our rural is growing on back of our initiatives that we've taken, on back of building infrastructure in rural. Our reach in terms of villages have moved up from 1 lakh villages to 1,17,000 villages. We've added now 7,000 yodhas in past quarter. Overall, our yodha network goes up to around 18,700 kind of yodhas now. So I think the playbook for seeding or infrastructure investment in the rural is well on play. As far as direct reach is also concerned, our direct reach has moved up by 2 lakh, which is the highest in the FMCG sector, and direct plus indirect as far as Nielsen is concerned. So around 2 lakh outlet reach has increased. So that's tremendous. I think a lot of execution has been done. And then now to leverage this infrastructure that we built, we've also curated a rural portfolio, which is an accessible price points in all our power brands. So which creates which is like a portfolio for people to carry in the rural, and that has also helped the rural growth to surpass the urban growth for our case. But you know, it may sound that our urban growth is muted, but both our urban and rural growth is ahead of the category growth. Even in urban, we've actually increased market shares, and our growths are higher than the FMCG growth in urban in our respective category. There it is up by 100 basis points, in rural it is up by 400 basis points from our subscribed category growth rates. So that's where we are.
And just a follow-up on that, so this rural expansion that you have done, do you see this as a continuum where you continue to expand over the next few years, or with this expansion you now take a pause and try to get more throughput and use this infrastructure better?
So not really. I think we are on a path to only expand this rural distribution. There's a huge headroom, and a lot of FMCG big boys are actually paving the way and showing us the best-in-class examples, and we have to just follow those examples. There's not much brain work happens here. So there are 6 lakh villages. We are barely reaching out to 1.17 lakh villages. We targeted ourselves to go up to around 1.2 lakh villages going forward. Next year should be 1.3. So we keep adding the number of villages here, and the Yodha network and the playbook, like I was saying, is already in place for us. Portfolio has been curated, so we will be adding the price points in the portfolio to leverage. Because, you know, 5 rupees or 10 rupees, 10 rupees or 20 rupees. So the pricing ladder has to be perfect for the rural, and that is what we are looking at, which helps us increase the penetration. So this journey will continue, I think, the rural growth. And there's no question of taking a pause and consolidating rural. I think expansion will be the name of the game in India. And across geographies, whether west, south, east, west, I think there's a huge potential to grow.
Yeah, thanks for that. And my last question is on margins. So, you know, in the last 2 years, we have seen the fourth quarter margins suddenly be much lower than the first 9 months because of probably some phasing and other expenses. So just wanted to understand, as the, like, your first 9 months EBITDA margin has been 20% despite the legal costs being there. Is there any reason to believe this margin would be much lower in the fourth quarter because of phasing, or the last 2 years were aberrations because this change wasn't there in the previous pre-COVID period as we have seen?
Yeah, so Adam, I think first of all, you know, you can't see sequentially our margins. The margins are in our business pretty seasonal. So last quarter is heavy on certain product mix, and hence it is lower. So it can't be 20% even in Q4, and if you see our 3-4 years trajectory, that has been the trend. So Q4 margins are the least, while Q3 are the highest because of healthcare portfolio and so on. So and also some bit of expense phasing might happen, but I would summarize by saying that the expansion in margins will continue, albeit at a slightly faster pace in Q4.
And one of the reasons what Ankush alluded to is what, because of seasonality, I think our food business becomes more salient in the summer because summer loading happens, because the consumption of food beverages happens there. So that's why there's a little bit of margin. But upside on margins will continue the way you've seen in quarter three, because the raw material packaging prices continue to be benign. So that continue. We've already given you a guidance of around 19.5% margin, and any upside in gross margin will be deployed into media. We will continue to do the same, make all our efforts to reach to 9.5% margin despite the legal cost hitting us of around $10 million is what is the legal cost that has hit to business.
So far.
YTD, so it might go up to around 10, 12 million actually. So despite the legal cost, we are making all our attempts to reach to around 19.5.
Understood. Thanks so much. All the best.
Yeah, closer to that.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from Investec. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I just have two questions. You know, I just wanted to get your sense on you know, what's your prognosis in rural, given, you know, almost 46% of the India portfolio is there. You yourself are doing well, but the market as a whole has continued to be challenging. In the last 1 year, most of the comments of FMCG companies have suggested that, you know, a recovery is likely in maybe near to medium term, but it hasn't really come about. You know, where do you think are the maybe top two or three key indicators, you know, there that can turn to, you know, to make this, you know, slightly more full-fledged recovery in the rural market? Just wanted to get your thought on that. That's my first question.
Well, your voice wasn't really clear. We couldn't decipher what is pertaining to rural recovery.
Yeah, my question was on rural. My it was really the last. Yeah, just a second, please. Yeah, really. I don't know.
Right. So I try to answer distributed about the question. So please interrupt me in case I haven't answered your question. I think rural, if you look at rural, it got impacted, and if you look at FMCG growth, granular, urban, and rural, rural actually has gone down in the past two quarters now. And I think my hypothesis or my prognosis is that this has gone up because food inflation has started once again or has not abated. So if you look at fruits, vegetables, spices, cereals, etc., we have seen inflation pick up in the range of around double digits now. And when it's rural, where per capita incomes are lower, the incomes are skewed towards consumption of essentials. And therefore, discretionary is getting impacted, and that's why it's got a traction. We have given a very contrarian sort of results because of the initiatives that I spoke to Amish's question, because of village expansion, our outlet expansion, our portfolio creation. That's why we could beat what the market is saying. But that said, there is a year-on-year growth as far as rural is concerned. That's, I think, a positive sign. If you look at the sentiment, consumer sentiment in the market where rural plays a very big part, that is improving. That's in the range of around 90% odd. And elections are approaching. So I think there will be a lot of government investment which will happen on infrastructure, which will help rural. And also some dole-outs should be given by the government to the rural, which will only increase the disposable income for the rural pickup to happen. But the gap, one very positive sign that I see is my, again, prognosis is, the gap between urban and rural is reducing for past three quarters. We saw a gap between urban and rural of 800 basis points. It got reduced to 600 to 400. So now it's only 200 basis points, if you see. That's the difference. So as the gap narrows between urban and rural with price going off, I think rural recovery is imminent to happen in the country. So I think, but for one or two quarters, we will see, I think the rural recovery is on the way. And election, I think, will only help the rural recovery and also will help others.
Very helpful. And one short question, you know, you've dealt with this legal issue for the last two quarters, at least a few months now. Just wanted to get your sense on, you know, where we are here and any visibility on, you know, how long you may have to kind of deal with this, you know, 3 quarters, 6 quarters, 8 quarters. Any sense on that?
So maybe, yeah, I think there has been, you know, over now 2-3 quarters, while our teams have been engaged, with the lawyers, they have been certain bit of discovery phases, you know, discussions with the plaintiffs, etc. But one or two positive news, I can share, you know, that the courts have decided on the corporate separateness, which means that the case is now restricted only to products sold in U.S., by Namaste legal entity. So any of the Dabur affiliate or Dabur products are out of the scope of this case, which means it impacts one very, you know, less than 1% of our turnover any which way, and it is only restricted to US as of now, and not for products sold anywhere else.
And even Namaste products sold outside of US are outside the purview of the legal case.
That's a positive development. While, you know, we are still in discussion and there's some bit of discovery
made.
And the matter
will be submitted. Got it. That's it for me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sheila Rathi from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Just extending to the previous question on the litigation-related issue, just want to be sure that with respect to the legal cost, is there any change in terms of, you know, how we should see the impact on the P&L, at least for the next 3-4 quarters?
We have in the recent past changed our lawyers. Earlier we have the one of the lawyers whose fees were much higher than the present lawyers, whereas in the effectiveness of the two lawyers, they are as competitive as the earlier ones. And the cost effective from, say, October onwards has already reduced. And we do not see that the same cost will be there in the financial year 2024-25. It will be lower than what has been in this current financial year, 23-24.
If you could just give us some idea as to how much that would be.
Yeah, so Sheila, roughly we are spending roughly around 20 crores is the cost that we people are incurring. And so that cost will remain for the time the case actually is lasting. But we already have a product liability insurance in place. This cost is pertaining, that we are incurring is pertaining to the lawyer fees, which is what we are incurring from our pocket. But any cost that comes in as outcome of the final judgment of the case, just in case it comes, that will be covered by the insurance. And we have a product liability insurance in place for that.
And even on that, I will add to what Mr. Malhotra said. The legal costs are also covered under the insurance policy. Currently, to be on the conservative side, we have provided the full legal cost, and whatever recovery we will have from the insurance company, that will be at a profit cost.
Understood. My second question again is to repeat on rural trends. But Mohit, just want to understand, are there specific markets for us, you know, I believe particularly North India, which have been doing well for us? Is there any particular insight you could give us for us to believe that this trend will continue even going ahead? I understand the distribution expansion which we are talking about and a rural portfolio which we have created, but is there anything more detailed which you can help us to understand that, you know, this quarter we have seen 6% growth and this is the gap we should continue to believe that it will continue even going into the ongoing quarter as well as the next?
Yeah, as far as the geographical mix, Sheila, is concerned, I think our stronghold remains North India and East India. So in East India and North India, which is also rural salient kind of geography, there we have made substantial progress in terms of our tentacles expanded and our footprint expanding in the rural, and that has actually given us a good growth. That said, even on back of Badshah distribution, and now Badshah and Dabur is going into rural rest. I think on back of that, we are saying the rural actually inched up even in west. South was a little not so great for Dabur because we don't have that kind of a brand equity and a strength in South. So that apart, but the major part of the business, South only contributes to approximately 20% of our business. 80% of the business comes from the other part, where our rural distribution coupled with our brand equity and coupled with our portfolio creation has really worked well for us. And also advertising, that we have increased by around 30% in India, help, you know, the optics to happen in the pan-India Hindi belt, so we say. So I think it's more UP, MP, Bihar, Rajasthan, Maharashtra. I think that entire belt is pretty salient for us now. There.
Yes,
I hope I've been able to address. Yeah.
Absolutely, Rahul. And just the third question and the final one is with respect to us, you know, gaining very strong market share with respect to the Odomos and Odonil portfolio. And if you could also touch upon Mobis, would be very helpful.
Sorry, Odomos, Odonil is the last half of a question I could gather.
Mobis, I saw that brand name on the presentation. I think that's your LG, liquid vaporizer.
LVP, okay, I get you. So, you know, the earlier strategy for the business was to keep ourselves restricted to Odomos personal application product cream, which was the product, the application, the dermatology application cream. And we have changed our strategy from not just restricting to a small market of PAP creams, which is personal application, to increasing the addressable market to the larger market. That's where we've extended Odomos from a personal application cream to oils now, to gels now, to also now LVPs now. So as far as Odomos is concerned, it's a mosquito repellent for us, and that's the market that we are addressing. So it is like a HI market for us that we are expanding itself to. On back of that strategy, I think premiumization is working on Odomos for us, and also format extension. On back of that, there's been a huge growth and 1,000 bps gain in the personal application category, because all these extensions are adding back to the mother brand, and the mother brand is adding back to the extensions also. So it's working very virtuously for us. As far as Odonil is concerned, we are again doing the same thing in air freshener category, extending ourselves to all the formats. Earlier, Dabur was only restricted to PDTV blocks, which is what, you know, which are basically toilet air fresheners. Now we've extended ourselves to air fresheners for rooms. We've extended ourselves to gel. We very recently added a gel pocket in it, which has done exceedingly well. Zipper pouches have done well. So all our innovations are actually firing. We are looking at driving solutions also here. So on back of all that, I think the business is really trending well. Our NPD in overall home care would be in the range of around 3-4%, but under the power brand architecture, which doesn't require additional investment. So when we advertise a new variant like a LVP, we've just taken Kajol on the brand, and I will request the investors team to share the creative of Kajol with you on LVP also to the entire company. That is really adding back to our Odomos. We've generated, it's just been around the 3 months that we've launched it, and we've generated a business of around 7.5 to 8 crores on LVP. And that's our strategy, which is firing in the home care for us, yeah. And in Odonil, by the way, for premiumization to happen, we've also introduced diffusers. So if you can go to Amazon, you will find Odonil diffusers now. They've got listed on Amazon, and that's the news that we've got today. So that will be very premium and adding to gross margin. Likewise, all our key power brands will have premiumization as we speak by value-added products being introduced in them.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardesi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good evening, Mohit and team. Thanks for the opportunity. On slide 9, your comment is newly set up therapeutic division has reported double-digit growth. So I think last time when we met, it was a lot of excitement we have seen around. So maybe if you can give more color, what is the depth, what is the distribution, what are the products which are firing, and maybe more color that what is more needed to do in that newly carved out division.
Yeah, okay. So, Shri, there's still a lot of excitement around it. As you know, Philippe has joined us, who is the chief executive of Malia. I think the news becomes old, but the excitement still remains. So, I think there's no lack of excitement in here. So, Philippe is still driving the business very well. So, we've created this advocacy vertical in which we are actually creating a bridge from Dabur to the allopathic doctor. Till now, our connect used to be the Ayurvedic doctor. The change of strategy is that we will now do advocacy to allopathic doctor. It's going to be a slow burn, but surely a good return business in long term. In 1 or 2, 3 years, we will be able to bridge the gap that we had between the doctor and Dabur. And Dabur not to be considered only as Ayurvedic, but as a scientific Ayurvedic organization. Selling and doing advocacy and providing science of efficacy to the allopathic doctors, which is one of the reasons why they don't prescribe to complementary or supplementary medications to allopathy medicines. So that was the whole logic of the strategy of building this advocacy vertical. We merged our Fem Pharma division with our branded ethical business and also our baby care business. So all the three have been clubbed together. So we are selling therapeutic dermatology products here. We are selling baby care products and we are selling our branded ethical products in addition to single herbs and nutraceuticals through this portfolio. This portfolio is doing very well. We've got a growth of around 14-15% on us, whereas the division has just come in place and we are looking at incremental turnover coming from this division.
So I think Shish, almost 95 crores we have done so far in 9 months, so 35 crores in average, and YTD growth is almost 21% from the like product fees 14%, but YTD growth is 21%.
Wonderful. Ankush, on the margin front, though Mohit said that we will maintain between 19.5-20%, but at this point of time, if I need to check, which are the raw materials looking inflationary, or maybe if you can say that how much is the deflation which you are seeing?
Yeah, so in the current quarter in India, we are almost 4% of deflation, while global level we had 2% deflation. Going forward, while the mix of inflation is changing, it's moving inflationary trend is more than food and imported concentrates etc. and spices. While we see that this should remain broadly in this range at least in this quarter, the gross margin expansion which was around 200 bps in India, consequently should also remain slightly in this range, though it may moderate. Given that price increases overlaps have broadly happened.
And deflation will start coming in the base.
Yeah. And most of the HPC categories, like mustard oil, oils, etc., LLP, most of the deflationary benefits have come so far and some bit of it will remain in Q4 as well. By next year's budget, we are still in the process of making, so we'll be too early to comment.
Yeah, that's helpful, Ankush, but I was just trying to understand if this is the stability which we are seeing, is there any room for price inflation next year we have budgeted?
Price increase. Price increases definitely we continuously benchmark our products with the competition. Also, wherever we are market leaders, we increase our prices. Plus, as Mr. Mohit said, there will be a lot of premiumization opportunities as well. So, combination of that will lead to some price increases, but it will moderate. We have also taken roughly in this quarter, including the overlap, around 2.5% of MRP-led price increases. part of it will also flow in next year, in next quarter.
Yeah, so Shirish, this is like so what Ankush mentioned, in addition to that, we've just taken a price increase on our foods portfolio, which is inflationary. So in juice portfolio, we've just taken a price increase, a fresh price increase. Yes. So I think price increases going forward in the year will depend upon how the inflation is actually trending. If the inflation goes up in the food business, then that portfolio will have a price increase. But as of now, apart from foods portfolio and spices portfolio, the rest of the raw material and packaging material is benign for us at the moment. So we will see expansion of gross margins on back of the benign RMP price.
Okay. Thank you, Mohit, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Punmia from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just two small questions. Firstly, on the e-commerce business, what's been the growth in 1H for the business and what is the contribution?
Yeah, the e-commerce business in the current quarter, the contribution is around 8.5% and the growth is around 20% in e-commerce.
Sorry,
and,
50%.
Sorry, 20%. This was a muted quarter as far as e-commerce is concerned, but otherwise, YTD, you see a growth contribution of around 9 to 9.5% coming from e-commerce for us, and the growth will be higher in the range of around
30%. Understood. And secondly, there have been a lot of media news regarding FMCG companies becoming slightly aggressive in terms of activations in the region of Ayodhya. And we have also launched special edition packs. But apart from 4Q benefit, do you see a sustainable benefit in FY25 in this region?
Yeah, you know, Hindi heartland is the core for Dabur. And this is like we invest behind power brands. These are our power markets. So we will continue to invest behind our power markets and they give us the maximum bang for the buck in these markets. And the entire UP belt, the East UP and West UP and East UP more, East UP and Bihar more, have a very high salience of Dabur. So we will continue to invest in our core markets. They are absolutely core for us. And we feel that these activations will only give us a long-term enduring gain going forward.
And this would be across the portfolio, or is there any particular portfolio which is slightly more biased in this region?
So we are basically taking our power brands only. Within power brands, our Red Toothpaste and Dabur Amla are the most salient because Chyawanprash honey becomes seasonal for us. In the power brand, this is more salient and juice saliency is also low in this region. So it's basically the HPC portfolio which is more salient here.
Understood. And lastly, just one clarification on the margins comment that you made earlier. So last year base obviously was a very low base quarter in terms of EBITDA margin in the region of around 15%. So while I do understand that seasonally it's a lower margin quarter, there would be a sharp increase in margin for 4Q, right? Even if you build 19.5% margin in FY24.
So Vishal, if your question is on Q4, as I said earlier, you know, you can't see some margin situation. Q4 obviously is a different product profile and hence it is slightly lower than the overall first 9 months margins. Having said that, our assessment at this point of time is that the expansion in margins would definitely be higher than what it has been in the past 9 months. So if our expansion in margins, including the legal cost, is 50 bits as of now, in quarter four, it will be higher than.
Understood. Thank you and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyank Chheda from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So my question is on the Ayurvedic the therapeutic strategy that we had discussed while we met in the investor annual meet. And I just want you to, touch base upon the incremental sales that we were targeting. So from 2,500 crores to 5,000 crores, this is an incremental sales of 2,500 crores over 5 years. How will this be divided across the existing categories and also the new categories like baby care, tea, and the therapeutic, allopathic side? If you can help me on that, what has been the progress in terms of any numeric data that you would like to share that you would want us to track?
Right, so I think NPD contribution, which is innovation contribution, rest of the growth will actually come from the power brands that are there. You've already listed out the 4 or 5 power brands that you already have in the healthcare portfolio, which you have, like Honeycrisp will drive the cough and cold, Gina drive the digestive, Hajmola is there, Chyawanprash is there, Honey is there. These are the power brands and most of the growth will be centered around these power brands. NPD contribution will be in the range of around 3-4%. Is coming in, which will be driven by more baby care. Baby care, we've already notched up a turnover of 27 odd crores, which is almost double of what we've done last year this time. So that's done well for us. Then branded ethical division, which should contribute to the growth services there. Then we have introduced chai tea. Tea has a registered turnover of around Vedic tea, is introduced a turnover of around 10-odd crores, and that is doing well and showing good traction in the marketplace. MFT is what we've introduced. That should also come in and help us in the growth. The nutraceutical vertical that we rolled out in therapeutic division is selling that, and that should notch up in terms of sales. And pretty much, so I think around 3.5-4% should come in from the NPD, and the rest will be the power brands in the healthcare portfolio. So contribute to that growth in healthcare.
Got it. And if I heard correctly, the therapeutic division is right now contributing 95 crores over last 9 months, which means that we are at a run rate of 25-30 crores per quarter. Am I correct?
Around 35
crores per quarter, correct.
35 crores per quarter. And we had a team which was working with Philip Hayden and the team which was going to target the doctors. What is the count, if you can help me with that? We had a 500 people recruited for that. And what has been the increase in the doctor coverage? Any numbers on that if you want to highlight?
I think, that the numbers not have changed significantly right now, but we are on the track of slowly increasing our coverage. We are right now consolidating the processes and the systems, and by end of the year, we'll be able to give you a better update on where we stand in terms of the coverage.
Got it. Does this mean that FY25 will have a significant developments done on this whole of the therapeutic segment linked to the power brands? Should we see more developments happening and more action happening in FY25?
Yeah, certainly there will be new product launches, there will be ramp up of the therapeutics division, and of course a lot of investment behind power brands, which will help us move towards our objectives for healthcare.
And just a clarification again on the 35 crores per quarter run rate or 100 crore sales via therapeutic segment is something which was not there in the previous years before we activated this new category or new segment, correct?
No, it was the base as well, but because of the enhanced focus, the growth has been around 20-21%.
Excellent.
Yeah, it has accelerated our growth. So it was in the base and the growth has accelerated.
Sorry, the voice was not clear. The sales were there in the base, but because it's growing at 30%, so we should consider that it was earlier 70-80 crores, which is now 100 crores.
Yeah, correct. So it was in that, yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Flavor, we are reaching out to pediatricians, GPs, dermatology and gynecologists. So in the quarter, the number, if you want to know, 22,000 is pediatrics we reached to, and around 12,000 dermatics, and around 22,000 gynecologists that we reach out to, and that's what, so around 60,000, around 70-75,000 doctors broadly total is what we are reaching out to, and the universe is obviously very huge, so we are just scratching the surface, and this we are reaching out with the some additional recruitment and with the existing team. We'll be keep adding personnel as the portfolio keeps expanding and regionally we keep expanding. So that's broadly. Exact numbers, I think, as we are preparing the budget, we can share with you in the next con call also.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Gagan Ahluwalia for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, everyone, for your participation in today's earnings call. The webcast, audio recording and transcript of this call will be available soon on our website. Thank you and have a nice evening.
Thank you. On behalf of Dabur India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.